The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to his disciples about the end which is to come. In those days, after the time of suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
We have come to the second last Sunday of the year. The Sunday after next is the first Sunday of Advent. It's a surprise, yeah? Time goes quickly. Next Sunday will be the final Sunday within the ordinary time, and is a great solemnity, the solemnity of Christ the King. And this solemnity officially and formally closes the year in anticipation of a new year beginning with Advent. A beautiful thing about the church calendar year, whether we're in year A, B, or C, because there's a three-year cycle related to our readings on Sundays. Regardless, every year, the church in her wisdom walks with her faithful through the paschal mystery and the life and relationship that Jesus has with the world. At the very beginning of the year, we anticipate the birth of the Messiah. For 3 weeks, we look forward to his coming. Just like the chosen people were waiting in darkness, waiting in anticipation for the Messiah to come. Christmas is his birth. And then throughout the year, we walk with him as he grows and takes on his public ministry and continues to teach and to heal and bring people to repentance and exposing the gospel to them and gathering disciples around him. And we enter into Lent, and in Lent we continue to anticipate and walk slowly and carefully towards Passion Week and the Easter Triduum, where we get closer and closer to the end of the public ministry of Christ, where eventually he gathers his disciples in the upper room for the Last Supper. We have the betrayal, we have the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Easter, the high point of the year. And we follow into the summer, riding the high of Easter, and then fall back into the larger portion of ordinary time, where we continue to meditate and recover and explore the teaching of Jesus, until we come to reflect on the second coming of Christ and his eternal, everlasting victory and reign. That is 1 year, and we do that over and over and over again for as many years as we're given. We are immersed in the life of Jesus. Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God the Father, the eternal Word, Who is God for you? In what way or in what manner do you most readily relate warmly and voluntarily with God? What type of characteristics of God stand out to you? What draws you nearer to the one who has created you? Scripture's job is to bring us to faith. The job of the Bible, that is its purpose, is to bring us to faith. And the Bible does that through a number of different means. But revealing God to us, each set of prayers and each set of readings for each Mass celebrated every day of the year, offers to us another opportunity to discover, explore, encounter God and who God is for the world and for us personally as individuals. Let's look a little more carefully in what we learn about God through this Sunday's set of readings and prayers. In our opening antiphon, the Lord's voice speaks. He says, I think thoughts of peace and not affliction. I will answer and lead back your captives and gather them up. I will answer my people. And this quotation comes from the book of Jeremiah, which is within a point of history for God's chosen people, the Jewish people, a time of exile, banishment. They do not occupy the promised land. They are dispersed into other people's lands, conquered for a time. And Jeremiah speaks of this lamentation of wanting to return to the land, wanting to not forget God. And God is reassuring the people through Jeremiah, I think thoughts of peace and will answer and lead back your captives, those captive in other countries, and gather them together. In our opening prayer, we hear about God as the author of all that is good. And we have that echoed as well in one of our Eucharistic prayers. Who lives and reigns in unity with Son and Holy Spirit forever and ever. Our God reigns. What does that mean when we encounter this language for us? Do we relate to the majesty of God, of his reign, of his authority over the universe, over the cosmos, over our lives? Let's slide to our responsorial psalm, Psalm 16. God holds our lot. In other words, God takes care of our future. And I am at, or you are at, or we are at God's right hand because he has chosen us. I feel secure. God does not give up on us. And the psalmist reflects this. You do not give me up to Sheol, which is the realm of the dead, a place of stagnant stillness, darkness. You don't let your faithful see the pit. You preserve me. This is God's action and character. God shows the path of life. And to be in God's presence is the fullness of joy and everlasting pleasure. To be in God's presence is the fullness of joy. This is being revealed to us through Scripture about who God is, whether we realize that or have come to terms with that or not, if that matches our own experience of who we think God might be. Then we slide into our second reading from Hebrews. Christ offered one sacrifice for all time for sins. He has laid himself down for our salvation. And because of this, he is now glorified or honored by God the Father by being seated at his right hand. And there, in glory, he waits until his enemies are brought low. We hear about a characteristic of God, even in our gospel acclamation, which we don't hear typically from Mass to Mass if we don't sing an Alleluia. But that acclamation says to be able to stand before God requires prayer and by extension preparation. We need to be built up and prepared to be able to stand before our God. That tells us something about the characteristic, the quality of who God is. His greatness, his brilliance, his overwhelming presence. Then when we slide into the gospel passage, and Jesus quotes from the Old Testament, from the book of Daniel, and they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Is this how you see Jesus? Can you see Jesus in this way? It is a vision of what is to come. The return of the Messiah, where he will gather his elect, his chosen ones, and his words will not pass away, even though other things will. His words are eternal. And that is important because we yearn for something that will last, that is dependable, that is stable, something we can count on, an anchor to hold on to. And if we want anything that we can hold on to and be sure of, it is the Word of God. It is Jesus himself. His words will never pass away. And continuing in our prayer within the context of this particular Mass and celebration of the Eucharist, we can come to the antiphon just before communion time. To be near to God and to place hope in the Lord is my happiness. To be near to God brings happiness and joy. We're learning. We're being reminded. We're encountering another dose of recognition. Who is God? How is God related to us? How much does God know us and understand us and care for us? What will it be like to be in God's presence? How powerful is God? How intimate is God? How helpful is God? How much does God know about me and my plight, my cause, my struggles in my everyday life? Where do I stand in relationship to God? We learn even today about God's steadfast promise to us. Stand at your right hand. I will not let you fall into the pit. I will not let the faithful ones see Sheol. To be with God brings joy. To be in the brilliance of God's overwhelming presence needs preparation. There will be a choice to be made when the time comes and those who are resting in the earth, in the dust, rise again. They will find themselves either in the brilliance of God's presence or in its absence. At this time of year, we are confronted with the urgency and the importance of knowing where we want to be and making that choice once and again, and again, and again, as needs be, to keep our faith alive, to keep our relationship with our Lord alive. And how do we do this? And how do we do this most successfully? Is to know who God is. And how do we do that? The context of our faith and our religious culture as Catholics, we look to Scripture, and we look to the language and actions of our prayer. And they will inform us. because God desires us to be here. And God has offered to us this means of turning to Him in worship and prayer. So let us continue to come to know God, so that we can continue to love God. And every day that choice of where we would rather be, in His glorious presence or not. Let us make the wise choice, so that we can be brilliant as the stars in the sky.